it? And he said to me, I was head boy at school. And somebody said, was that because you were a SWAT, Terry? He said, no, it was because I suppose I'm just an enthusiast. And that's the brilliant, that's why he's involved in this. You know, he wouldn't have done this if he hadn't been deeply enthusiastic about something new. Oh, I like the sound of that. Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky to have him on board.
So who am I talking to?
John Mitchinson. I am one of the co-founders of Unbound.
And?
In my spare...
other stuff.
In my spare time, I'm the director of research for QI.
Which means probably you do fuck all.
What it means is I have lovely time just finding out good stuff on the internet and get paid for it.
And do they use it?
Oh, yeah. You know, we write the scripts. It's hard work. It's hard work.
Is it really, really heavily scripted?
Well, no. What's scripted is Stephen's notes. And
what, because he's shit?
No, not because he's shit. He's totally unshit. And he has an extraordinary memory, which is a good thing. Because, an average QI script is about 8,000 words. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. That little kind of, gorgeous iceberg that peeps over the half an hour that you see. There's 2 hours of show, and there's probably, I don't know, there's several days of, weeks probably. We'd spend 3 months researching the shows for a 16-show series, and that's six of us. So a lot goes into it.
And we're here because of Unbound.
Yep, it's our launch day today. Our very first 001 title, Terry Jones' Evil Machines. We started talking about Unbound 2 years ago, and...
Well, let's stop there for a minute. Why?
Why were we talking about it?
Why Unbound?
Why Unbound? Three authors, all Dan, Justin and myself, were all people who have published reasonably successful. The QI book's certainly been very successful. My background was in publishing. We've had sort of mixed experience.
Your background was quite big publishing, wasn't it?
Well, I was marketing director of Waterstones. And then I ran.
We won't blame you.
And then yeah, exactly. But in the good days, when it was magnificent company in the early days, and then I was MD of a smaller company, little publishing company called Harville, and then I was MD of a much bigger company called Castle, and I published.
And what attracts you to publishing?
Today's a very good example is the unwrapping the box, and there's a lovely, this beautiful object that smells new and fresh, and it's there's nothing like it, is it? There's just sort of that when you buy something that's a new book and sit, and even if you download it and you've got something new and fresh and people's and ideas and stories, access to another world. I mean, I always say to people, it's the best product you could ever possibly be involved in.
But you're quite a strange beast because you're a lover of texture and
feeling
and stuff, and yet you've launched a completely digital.
Well,
company.
It's not totally digital because we're using the internet to actually fund the production of beautiful objects as well. But yeah, the way it works is that if you're interested in reading, then people are going to be reading using iPads and handheld things and laptops, and that's how reading is going to develop. It's what the kids do, and that's absolutely fine. I love. A really nicely. I was looking at the Terry's book today on an iPad, and I have to say, it's very elegant. It looks very nice. The iBook page swish works very nicely. But I still think that there is a scope for having something. That's why we've spent a lot of money making the physical edition of Terry's book as beautiful as it is, because I think you want to have something to hold and put on the. I want both. This is the thing. What I learnt in my days at Waterstones is that book buyers are promiscuous. What they want. Wherever they see books, in whatever format, they want cheap paperbacks, they want expensive hardbacks, they want downloads, they want free ebooks, they want ebooks they have to pay for, they want apps. The people who read, who've discovered this brilliant parallel universe, the universe of stories that you can enter into and dip out of at any time, those people will, they'll get their fix wherever they can get it.
And so what's next on Unbound? What are we going to see over the next few months?
We've got another book
fully
funded from Tibor Fischer coming out next week. We've got this amazing...
That's why you're missing the festival next week.
Yes, that's why I'm missing the festival, because I don't have a PA. I haven't got a PA, which...
I haven't got a PA.
But I can read a diary.
I got a date right.
I can read an email. Yeah, I know. My wife just despairs of me on that in this regard. We've got walking down the stairs here, letters of note. It will be one of the most gorgeous books published next year, and it's already 50% funded. It'll be coming out for next Christmas. Before Christmas this year, we've got an amazing book called We Can Be Heroes, which is London Clubland, 1979 to 84, which is a history of the most...
It's made me feel old.
It's Boy George, it's Sade, it's Spandau Ballet, and it's everybody was involved in that
it's
scene.
It's you.
It's me. Yeah, it's my youth in black and white. Amazing photographer called Graham Smith, who has sat on this archive of photographs that nobody's seen. So we're publishing that with brilliant text by Chris Sullivan, who's DJ, writer, frontman of Blue Rondello of Turk, and one of the
oh
kind
God,
of
yeah.
one of the
band that were going to be huge. And
well, they were just. Kind of I tell you it. What, they were the best live band I ever saw. They were bloody brilliant.
They were
and the dance moves were amazing.
But they just missed.
Missed that. It was the great thing about that period. Music was still not quite. You know, nobody made any money out of it. So no, that's good. So those are two things. And also
three things.
Of course, there's also Robert Llewellyn. Thanks, Justin. Robert Llewellyn, of course.
Don't publicise Robert Llewellyn. He does it well enough.
He does it well enough for himself.
What's he doing?
He's doing a utopian novel. It's what happens...
Let me guess, it's about energy-efficient cars.
Yeah. What happens if we don't fuck up the future, basically? Which, of course, everybody likes, you know, 28 Days, the Road, all the sort of going into the future. They're always dystopian and unpleasant. And he's saying, hey, what if we get it right? And what if the UK gets it right, more right than anyone else? And it's called News from Gardenia, because we become this big open air, well, a bit like Robert's Back Garden, only sort of spread all over the UK. So that'll be fun.